That's about the best thing we can do, isn't it? Trust in Jesus. Tonight we're going to be looking into about four different scriptures, and it might be wise for you to get your Bibles and make sure I'm reading these things right. We'll be looking into a book of Numbers, in the 2 Kings, and in the Genesis. So in Numbers chapter 7, and just to let you know, I found some keys today too. I've been missing some keys for months, and I had prayed a little bit about it, but I thought, well, I could live without them. It's all right. And I found them today. So thank the Lord for that. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. They made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons, 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them. So these men were offering these covered wagons, and the Lord spoke to Moses and says, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. To every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear it upon their shoulders. So here were these covered wagons given to them to carry the tents and all the parts of the tabernacle as they traveled from one place to another. These two groups, they got the wagons to carry the load. But the Kohath, sons of Kohath, they had to carry it on their shoulders. You ever feel that way sometimes? Somebody else has it easy. They get to ride the wagons. But you got to carry the load on your shoulders. So whatever the service, whatever the Lord, the service the Lord has given you to do, whether it's a lowly one where you got to carry the load on your shoulders, and you see somebody else riding a covered wagon, they might have it easier than I do. But if the Lord has given you something to do, it's important to do it. It's very important to do it. And as I read this over and over and over the last few days, it just kept coming to my mind, you know, whatever it is, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, if it's carry a load on my shoulders or ride the wagons, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask. And I pray that each one of us feel the same way tonight. Let's not look at someone else and say, well, they got it easier. They get to ride the covered wagon. No, let's just do what the Lord asks us to do, no matter what it is. And then let's look over in the Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. The story of the account of a young man that was burdened for many years. Many years. Like 13 or more. Chapter 37 of Genesis. And Jacob went in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Anybody here 17? Anybody here that's 17 years old? Stand up for just a second. That's all right. No, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Okay, that's 17 years old. Okay, here's another one, all right? All right, there's another one back there. So that's how old Joseph was, all right? Thank you. So here he was, feeding the flock with his brethren, and then a couple of his brothers did something, and then he went to Dad and told Dad about what happened. Is that a good thing to do? Well, he did. And his brothers saw that their dad liked Joseph more than them, and they didn't like him. So they couldn't even speak peaceably unto him. And then Joseph had those dreams. And as he had those dreams, then he told about the dreams. And that just made his brothers hate him. And it says his dad even reprimanded him for that. And you think, okay, so here's a young man, just do what he's supposed to do. And now that his family doesn't like him. So then as this account goes on, his brethren were out tending the sheep out of a place called Shechem. And for there was apparently some grass or something for the sheep. And they were doing what they were supposed to do, I guess. And Dad said, Joseph, I want you to go check on those guys. Maybe Dad thought that they were doing something wrong again. I don't know. But so Joseph said, yeah, I will. Here I am. I'll go. So he went. And he was searching around Shechem trying to find his brethren. And they weren't there. They weren't anywhere to be found. And as he was searching around, then some man, it said, a man came and said, they departed thence, for I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So his brothers had gone to a place called Dothan. Remember that name. So Joseph went after his brethren. There they were. They were at Dothan. But when they saw him coming, you remember what happened? They hated him. They hated him. So they said, well, we'll just kill him and put his blood on that fancy coat Dad gave for him and take it to Dad and say an animal got him. But one of the brothers spoke up, let's not do that. Let's throw him in this. It was a dry well, and that's a whole nother story. But they put him in there, and then Reuben went off someplace else for some reason. And the rest of the brothers were there. Here come a caravan, and well, let's sell him to them. He sold them, that he was sold to them, and he was taken in as a servant, as a prisoner, shall we say, into Potiphar's house. But everything Joseph did, it was like the Midas touch. It's kind of like everything he did, it came out good. And then he was blackmailed by Potiphar's wife. He was put in prison. He was in prison for many years. And, you know, as I read the story over and over again, I don't see where he complained. I don't see where he said, woe is me, why am I here? This ain't fair. He just did good things every place he went. Then Potiphar got angry with his butler and baker, and they were thrown in prison, and Joseph interpreted their dreams, and their dreams came to fruition. The butler was put back in his job, and the baker was hanged. So as Joseph was going along seeing all these things, he was still in prison. He shouldn't have been there, except, you know, God has a plan for all of us. No matter what it might be, God does have a plan for us. So the butler got his job back, and then Potiphar had a dream. And nobody could interpret it, and then the butler, oh, I remember, I forgot, I was supposed to tell you about Joseph down there in prison. So he told him about Joseph. He got Joseph to come up. Joseph interpreted the dream, and it was like there's going to be 7 years of lots of food and then 7 years of famine. So during these 7 years of good food, lots of food, let's make a big storehouse and store up the food so we don't starve to death later on. Remember how the story goes, how Potiphar says, well, that's a good idea. Who's smarter at doing this than you? Joseph, okay, you're going to be my right-hand man, your second in command. So that happened. Years went by, and their storehouse was full, and then came the famine, and what was going to happen next. There was going to be dad and the sons down in the land of Canaan. They got hungry. There wasn't food. It was so they sent some of the boys up to get some food, and you can read the story how various things happened. But the bottom line was Joseph's dreams came true. His brothers came up there and bowed down to him as a leader in the country. He was the second in command at that time. And so even though, okay, anybody here 30 years old? Anybody 30 years old? Don't be ashamed. 29 or, okay, 30? Okay. So that's how old Joseph was when his brothers finally bowed down to him. So all the way from 17 to 30, there was Joseph. You can sit down now, thanks. There was Joseph in prison. Why was he there? How would you feel? How would I feel? If here I was all these years, I hadn't done anything wrong. I'd been doing as good as I could. And the difference in age is there. And so, Lord, help us to be careful in everything we do to always give him the praise, whether it goes our way or not. So I'm sure Joseph had been praying for those 13 odd years, praying, you know, that God help me. God help me. But look how long he was there before he finally got an answer to his prayer. Now let's turn over and look into, what was my next one? 2 Kings. Into 2 Kings. And there was Elisha the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 6. And there was Elisha the prophet and going through situations that didn't seem fair maybe sometimes. And verse 8 says, "And the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, don't go there, because the Syrians are going to come down. And the king of Israel went to the place which the man of God had told him, warned him, saved himself there a number of times." The king of Syria was troubled. Who's the spy? Who's not with me? And one of the servants said, "Well, it's that man Elisha, the prophet. He knows what you're saying in your very bedchamber." And it doesn't make sense, but the king says, "Well, let's go get him." Well, I mean, if he knows what you're saying in your bedchamber, then how are you going to sneak up on him? But he said, "Go spy where he is that I can get him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in," where? Dothan. Same place Joseph was. When Joseph had the problems with his brother and he was sold as a servant, Elisha was in the same place. And there he was, and they surrounded by the enemy. He got up early in the morning, a servant of the man, servant of God, got up, looked around, and there was just the enemy all the way around. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? I mean, we're done. They got us all the way around us." And Elisha answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Okay, Elisha prayed, and how long did it take for his answer to come? It happened right then. How long had Joseph been praying? 13 years or more. You know, no matter how long you pray, as somebody mentioned in a testimony, never give up, never quit praying. God does hear, and God does answer prayer. Whether you feel like it's been a long time or a short time, or whether you feel like the load you have to carry is a whole lot heavier than anybody else's, I don't think so. Everybody has difficulties. Everyone has problems. And so we bring them to the Lord. And then over in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Ye have need of patience. Don't we? We have need of patience. That after ye have done the will of God, whether you're riding in a covered wagon, or whether you're carrying a load, or whether you're in a place you shouldn't be, don't deserve to be, or you're right there, answer prayer immediately. For if you've done, we have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in them. May God help us. May God help us to look to him, whatever God has asked you to do. You know, in our church, as we hear it from many times, we need workers. We need helpers. We need people to pick up the torch and find a job and do it. I've thought many times of, the old gospel chariot. I think, Lord, I don't want to be dragging along behind. I want to be pushing it along. I want to be helping the gospel chariot go forward. I want to be helping the work of the Lord to go forward. Isn't that what we want? May God help us to forget about any problems, any details. Like Elisha's servant, all he could see was the problem. If he looked beyond the problem, not focus on a problem, there was a solution. May God help us tonight to look beyond the problem, to look to him, and we know that God will answer your prayer tonight. Whether you need salvation, that's the first step, obviously. Sanctification, baptism, healing, or just plain walking closer to God. May God help us to do that tonight. We'll sing number 70.